Thank you, Betty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to us and encourage us from your word. And we pray that the things that we hear this morning might be from you and that we might respond to them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't think that anyone can read through the Gospels and not get excited about the things that take place and the lives that are changed as you read through those Gospels. Here we are this morning, after 3 weeks, still in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. And today we're going to look at verses 35 to 31, which Betty just read to us. Now, what are we looking at? We're looking at 2 days in the life of Jesus at the commencement of his ministry. And what we see here are the building blocks that Jesus is putting into place that he'll build on over the next 3 years of his earthly life. The building blocks, of course, are the lives of people. People who he will teach, people who he will reveal himself to, and people who will continue to minister in his name when his earthly ministry has come to an end. And John, in writing this account, is committed to revealing who Jesus is. But it's not until almost the end of his gospel that he tells his readers that this is why he has written what he has. In chapter 20 and verse 30, this is what John writes. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Here we see John state the purpose of the writing of his gospel, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So how do these events over these days help to achieve what John wants to show to us? Well, let's look at these days together. First of all, we see that John the Baptist is still a significant player when it comes to pointing out who Jesus is. John points to Jesus as he did the day before, back in verse 39. He refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, last week, Greg made reference to the use of the lambs in the Old Testament. Lambs were used as sacrificial lambs. So how would Jesus, as the Lamb of God, fulfill the role of taking away the sin of the world? Well, we know that he would achieve his role by his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross, where he would take our sins and have them nailed on the cross with him. But for those who were hearing John's words, there would be a 3-year wait until the reality of his words would be realized when they saw Jesus on the cross and then witnessed his resurrection. Well, 2 people who heard John's words were his disciples, Andrew and John. And it was at this moment that they changed their allegiance from being disciples of John to being disciples of the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. It's interesting to note that only Andrew is named. The name of the other disciple is never mentioned in this gospel because John never mentions his own name. The closest he ever gets is when he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. In chapters 19 and in 21, we can see that when Jesus is walking with Peter, after they'd had breakfast together after the resurrection. And in verse 24 it says that this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. In chapter 19, of course, John is referred to again as a disciple whom Jesus loved when Jesus asks him to take care of his mother as he was on the cross. And again, John refers to himself when Jesus had been stabbed in the side with a spear, and he says how he testifies to the flow of blood and of water that came out of Jesus' side. But no mention of his own name. Well, John and Andrew spend the day with Jesus. They spend the day with Jesus. How would that be? What would they have talked about? Well, I haven't got a clue. But wouldn't it have been exciting? Wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the wall on that occasion? But let me ask you, have you ever spent a day with Jesus? Have you? You don't have to answer. But we have. We have the opportunity to spend a day with Jesus. That wasn't just confined to Andrew and John. We, each one of us, if we so desire, have that opportunity to spend a day with Jesus. And it is worth it. Well, Andrew, after spending this day with Jesus, went the very next morning and sought his brother Simon Peter. Andrew's the first person to ever bring another to the Lord Jesus. That was the impact that Jesus had on Andrew. And he felt compelled to go and, grab his brother, and go to his brother and bring him to the Lord. And I think it's a fair question to ask ourselves. Has Jesus made such an impact on our lives that we want to tell our brother, our sister, our mother, our father, our children, our grandchildren, or even a friend about Jesus? And if Jesus hasn't made that impact on our lives, why not? Why not? Andrew could not have possibly known the outcome of bringing his brother to Jesus. But you cannot help but read through the New Testament and see the significance of this single event that Peter, with all his imperfections, and you can't help but see then the Bible doesn't cover up the imperfections of people, how he would be the one after the crucifixion of Jesus and then after Jesus' resurrection to hold this little group of followers together so that when the Holy Spirit came, they were ready to go out into the world. Well, Andrew refers to Jesus as Messiah. It's most unlikely that Andrew understood the full implication of this title. And it's interesting, John refers to this as Jesus Messiah 13 times during the course of his gospel, and each time it's a development of the disciples' understanding of what this meant. Well, at their first meeting, Jesus gives Simon a new name, Peter. But note how Jesus uses, if you were to look at chapter 21 again, how he refers to Simon Peter as Simon, son of John. He doesn't call him Peter. Maybe he's saying to Peter, remember what you were like before you knew me? Well, Jesus, as I said, is in the process of building up his team of disciples, and he sets out to find Philip. Now, there's very little written about Philip And it's been suggested that Philip was just an ordinary bloke, not possessing many spiritual gifts. Oh, there are some references to him. But if that's the case, then I am greatly encouraged by the fact that our Lord went out of his way to call an ordinary person to be a disciple. And if that is the case, then if you're an ordinary person, if you think you're an ordinary person, then take heart. Take heart. But at the same time, don't sit on your hands. One of the things that Philip did was to find his friend Nathanael and tell him that we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I like it what Leon Morris says, that here was one lighted torch touching another. In some churches, especially on the continent, at Easter time when it's dark, they go into worship early in the morning, pitch black on Easter Day. And then the priest or the pastor or whoever it is, he lights a candle. And then everyone in the church lights off this one candle, and it goes from darkness into just amazing light. Well, Jesus refers to his followers in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. And it's clear that he expects us to be just that. I couldn't help but when I was greeting people at the door this morning to look across at the old rectory, and there's two roses. Anybody else notice them this morning? There's just two roses amongst all nothing. And they stand out so much. And I thought, yeah, that's what we're meant to be like. We're meant to stand out amongst the crowd for Jesus. Well, let's go back to Nathanael. Who, again, little's known about this fella. But he queries about where Jesus comes from. Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Be like us saying, Ballarat? Can anything good come from Ballarat? But Philip doesn't try and tell him all the things. What he does is he takes him to meet Jesus. And all the doubts that Nathanael had fall away. Nathanael refers to Jesus as Rabbi, a title given to Jesus by Andrew and John back in verse 38. Calls him the Son of God, a title Jesus never gave to himself. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. And then concludes by saying, you are the King of Israel. John the Baptist, back in verse 34, said that I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. And it's with this same conviction that Nathanael uses this title here. Again, we ask, did Nathanael understand what he was saying? Probably not. He knew that Jesus couldn't be described in ordinary human terms and could only describe him in terms of a close relationship with God. But when he refers to Jesus as the King of Israel, this title is only used a couple of times of Jesus, usually in a derogatory way, not least when Jesus was on the cross and they mocked him, saying, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may believe. In Mark chapter 15. Well, Jesus replies to Nathanael that he will see greater things as he follows him and refers to himself, as I've said, as the Son of Man, title drawn from the book of Daniel. But over the next few weeks, as sermons are preached on this gospel, you will see and hear great things about our Lord Jesus Christ, who you and I have chosen to follow. And no doubt there will be things that you will need to reflect on. I'm saying you because I'll be around the countryside. Things that you will need to reflect on. Things that you will need to change in your lives. If You are to walk with Jesus and to fulfill his calling for you. But I want to encourage you over the next week and weeks to read through John's Gospel, not just once. You can read through it very quickly. But to read through John's Gospel and become familiar with what has been written, so that when you hear the Word of God being preached, you will be more attuned to hear what it is that God wants to say to you from his Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for John's faithfulness in recording these events in Jesus' life and ministry. We thank you for the lives that he touched and the things that we've seen him do through them. But we thank you for the lives that you continue to touch. Each one of us here this morning, Lord, has been touched by you in one way or another. And we pray that rather than being complacent, rather than being just almost ornaments, that we might be used by you in the way in which you want. Help us to be so excited about knowing you that we will want to tell others about you and about the difference that you have made in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.